did me.
Yeah, right.
So don't be untrue to me.
Yeah, right.
So baby, Mary, listen, I'm talking.
Ain't love
that you handed out to me.
Ain't love.
So don't start a shot at me.
Ain't love.
So baby, farewell. Oh, goodbye. And I go on. But what's the use? You killed my golden goose. And from now on, I'm on the loose. No problem. God, listen to me.
Ain't right.
Love.
Welcome to episode 170 of Taking the Charge with you from Regensburg, Germany. I'm David Hein of Hein News. This week on the show, decisions made, decisions to come, and some, I guess let's call it German youth basketball, or youth basketball in Germany. I guess first off, let you know how you can get in touch with the show. You can contact me on Twitter at Hein News, H-E-I-N-N-E-W-S, H-E-I-N-N-E-W-S. The email address is heinnews@gmx.de. And the Facebook page is just put in Taking the Charge Podcast, and you will get to the group. We do ask that you... asked to join, just so that we can welcome you in. And what am I missing? The website obviously is heinnews.com. You can go on iTunes and rate and review us. That's about it as far as how you can get contact with the show. Let's get into the meat of the show. I guess first let's start with decisions that were made. Main thing I have on my notes is that the co-hosts for the EuroBasket 2017 were named by FIBA Europe. I guess there was no real surprise. Poland could have hosted one of the first round stages, but it ended up being Romania, along with Finland, Israel, and Turkey. And Turkey hosting the final phase. Romania had been co-host of the EuroBasket 2015 women. So that's really not too big of a shock that they were named. George Muresan was at the Bayern Munich Real Madrid game. Is that right? Yeah, Bayern Munich Real Madrid game, EuroLeague, and massive man, and so that kind of was the giveaway that Romania was going to get one of the co-hosting bids. Finland, the games will be in Helsinki. Last time they hosted EuroBasket was 1967. Be their 100th anniversary of the country's independence. Pretty impressive. Israel, the games will be, they'll be hosted for the first time in Israel as well, and those will be in Tel Aviv, with the games in Romania being in Cluj-Napoca. Those will be the other two. And Turkey, the first round, the group stage games, will take place in the Epekci Arena in Istanbul, and the final phase games will be in the Sinan Erdem Arena, which was the scene of the final round for the 2010 FIBA Basketball World Cup. So people who watched the World Cup back in 2010 will recognize, well, might recognize at least that arena. So... would be really excited to go to really any of the three non-Turkey Nothing against Turkey, but I'll be in Turkey then. Obviously, I would imagine I'll be in Turkey for the final stage. So would be excited to go either to Finland, Israel, or Romania. Really looking, I would be looking forward to either of those, any of those three. And I don't know necessarily about Romania, whether or not they're going to really, how good they'll be as far as crowds. I didn't really watch much of the Romanian games, even the Romanian home games at the Eurobasket Women 2015, so can't really say how that crowd was. Sorry about that. So I really can't say how that support will be, but I imagine the Israelis will come out pretty well, in Tel Aviv. They have a pretty good crowd there. And, of course, the Finns will be there. And I would imagine that, although I don't see it right now and I haven't actually asked about it, but I imagine that that FIBA Europe would once again kind of have a partner team, I guess, in the draw, which would then help the attendance. I know that really came over well for Eurobasket 2015, and so I can imagine that FIBA Europe would include that in their draw process for FIBA Eurobasket 2017. Still, I don't know about that, but I would imagine that since that did go so well, since they're really really working to get as many fans into the arenas as possible, that would be a good way to do it. Not sure exactly who Israel would take, seeing as they're kind of out there on their own over there. But regardless, definitely, I would imagine that they would do that. I guess the other main thing I wanted to talk about, I'm not going to really talk much NBA. Okay, of course, the Warriors lost to Milwaukee, and I think Milwaukee, everybody talked about the Warriors losing, but Milwaukee's got a pretty decent young nucleus, and so that was a pretty exciting win, and they beat Cleveland as well this season. But the other thing I mainly want to talk about before we get into the interviews is the last game day of the last round of the EuroLeague regular season. Three more spots will be decided on Thursday and Friday, the 17th and 18th of December. Two of those will come from Group A, which, there's still a chance, still a decent chance that two of the biggest powers in European basketball, Real Madrid and Maccabi Tel Aviv, could maybe not make it to the round to the top 16. So basically two of Zvezda, Bayern, Madrid, and Strasbourg will go through. I guess Madrid plays Strasbourg, so Madrid are in with a win. Strasbourg, they're definitely in with a win by at least 28 points. If they win by less than 28, Bayern have to beat Zvezda, and then it would be Bayern and Strasbourg. If there's a three-way tie at 4-6 between Strasbourg, Zvezda, and Madrid, Strasbourg would go through. Bayern or Zvezda are in with a win, and Zvezda is out with a loss. Bayern could go through with a loss as long as Strasbourg win. Catching all this? So there's some more stuff. As far as if Strasbourg wins and Zvezda win, then Strasbourg wins by up to 7. Madrid goes through. If Strasbourg wins by between 8 and 28, Bayern goes through. And Strasburg wins by more than 28. Strasburg advances. So kind of a crazy final round. And just checking the actual days of the games, and it looks like the Strasburg game, Real Madrid Strasburg, is Thursday at 8:45 Central European Time. So Thursday at 8:45, and then the Zvezda Bayern game is Friday at 7 p.m. Central European Time. it should be, depending on, you know, they're Zvezda and Bayern are going to know what happened. So it's going to be kind of exciting. I don't really care who goes through. It'd be kind of neat not to see Real Madrid not go through. Maccabi will come to them in a second, but Maccabi not go through just because of all this A-license reform stuff for next year. Would really give all of the opponents of the plan some real good footage to go on. As far as Group D, the other spot that either is going to be debutants Darüşşafaka Doğuş, sorry about the mispronunciation of that, or Maccabi. They face off. And they face off on Thursday at 7:45 Central European Time. Doğuş goes through with a victory and a loss up to 10 points. They beat Maccabi 73-84 in Israel. This game is in Istanbul. So Maccabi have to win by 10 points so that they would avoid not making it out of the group stage for the first time ever in EuroLeague history. So some pretty exciting stuff going on. I guess group, what was the other group? Group B, I think it was. No, where's, no, Group D has Unicaja Malaga and CSKA Moscow facing off, and the winner of that game will be first place. Let's see about the standings. All the other teams are set. Obviously, rankings are not yet set. Fenerbahce is set at number one. Kim Kiak, imagine, could probably get caught for second place in that group, Group A. Olympiacos are set at number one. FS, Kucha, and Ceda Vida are all through. I didn't look and see, but it looks like at least one of those teams could, they could all finish second to fourth. sorry about the cough. So we at least have Milan as one A-licensed team not going through. Group C is also set. Just really looking at the order. And then Group D, we're just looking for the last spot between Darüşşafaka and Maccabi Tel Aviv. All right. So, and actually, I'll be at the game between Sassari and Bamberg, and Sassari's looking for their first victory. I don't know what the last time I was going to think about looking and see what the last time somebody went the entire regular season without a victory. I don't want to have to go through the hassle of going through that. Let's see if I could just see if last year if there was anybody. Actually, it's not too bad. Actually, this is a little more detailed than I thought. So let's see here. Let's just see last year. 1-9, 2-8, 1-9. So everybody won at least one game last year. Let's see how quick this goes. Final Four, regular season. 2013-14. Looks like everybody won at least one game. This is pretty exciting, I know. 2012-13, everybody won at least one game. This is actually pretty decent. Everybody won at least one game in 2011 and 12. It's building up some drama. Sorry about this, guys. There we go. Cibona Zagreb. Last team to go winless in 2010-11 season. They went 0-10. So Sarri is looking to avoid that. They have to play against Bamberg. Which brings me to my interviews. First off, I know we haven't done... people who have listened to the show in the past know that we used to do a lot of stuff in... obviously, with me being in Germany, we do a lot of stuff, talk about the BBL a lot. I know we haven't really talked about it that much. Bamberg are kind of cruising right now. They had one of the best games of the year last week, two weekends ago against at home against Bayern Munich. Just a fantastic game. And then last weekend they eased past. Alba Berlin in a battle of 1-2 in the standings, and so they are atop the standings right now. And they have five players named to the All-Star game. Let's see if I can get them: Patrick Heckman, Daniel Theis, Darius Miller, and Brad Wanamaker. And I think four of those guys, I think all five of them are starting. Andrea Trinchieri is the coach. They also have three players in the NBBL, the U19 All-Star Game, which is also taking place on All-Star Weekend. And that is in Bamberg on January 9th. And they have three players in that game, those being Leon Kratzer. And this is a 97 generation and younger, 97 generation. Leon Kratzer. Leon Kratzer. Tibor Taras, who's also 97. And then you have... Andreas Kolboka, 98 generation from Lithuania. And the reason why I wanted to I've been saving these interviews for a little bit, and the theme of the two interviews I did with Bamberg players, I talked to Andreas Kolboka, the Lithuanian, young Lithuanian, and I also talked to Alexei Nikolic, 95 generation, 20-year-old, and both of them are kind of setting a sort of a trend in German basketball, or continuing a trend in German basketball, where young players are coming to Germany to get their training at the youth level. Nikolic is practicing solely with Bamberg, but he's playing in Pro A, and Kolboka is playing Pro A, and he's also playing the NBBL, the under 19 league. So both of them are foreigners who come in and pretty high level guys. Nikolic came from Spar Sarajevo, which is a wildly successful development program in Bosnia. He's a Slovenian. And then Kolboka came from from Shagiris Kaunas. Talk to both of them. And then actually I'll introduce the other interviews when we're done with those. So first, We'll do Alexei Nikolic, and then just right after that, we'll catch Andreas Kulboka. So just so you know, the interviews were done earlier this season, but the meat of the interview obviously tackles just the general sense of them coming over to Germany. So enjoy those. We'll catch you on the other side.
Great, obviously. I try to do things that coach asked me, stick with the game plan, and just play the game. I enjoy every moment. The fans were great, like always, and it's always fun, like even to watch. But of course, when you play, it's even better. So it was very good.
You got almost 22 minutes tonight. The trust of the coach.
Yeah, I mean. The guys did their thing from the get-go, so that's greatest space for me to get a chance to actually play and to show what I can do. And I mean, I can be very happy that I get a chance and try to like play as hard as I can every minute I get. So 22 tonight, we'll see what brings the next game.
You said you enjoyed every moment, but two or three times the coach yelled your name that loud that all the arena could hear it.
I know. He goes hard on me, and it's just not everybody's perfect. We all make mistakes in the game, and so did I. I had a couple of mistakes, so he has a different way to tell players where they do it, but it's okay. It's really fine.
You're 8 games into your season here. Is this about where you kind of hope you'd be when you came here?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the team is playing good. We had one loss in Gießen, like tough loss, but it doesn't matter. We bounce back. We are back on the winning streak. We do our job in EuroLeague, and we are also consistent in Beko BBL. So. It's fine where we are. It's just that we go game by game every day. So.
And what about you? I mean, you know, you got in your first game now today. You made your debut with the big team. I mean, 8 games into the BBL season.
Oh, I'm just trying to work as hard as I can in practice. Try to show that I can play and gain the trust of the coach, so he can give me minutes. So day is game. As long as the opportunity comes, I'm okay with it. So that's it.
What's maybe the thing you're working on right now the most that the club has said to you? Listen, if you do this, you'll get minutes.
Play defense. That's the most important thing. And on offense, be just patient. That's it.
You come from the Spars program. Obviously, that's produced a lot of great players. Talk a little bit about that and the history of that thing.
Spars was unbelievable for me, but also for the other guys. As you said, it did produce a lot of guys, and they are still doing a very good job. I communicate with them sometimes, and we still keep in touch. I mean, their program is just for young players to develop, to play. They have like the first team is in the first league, and all they have like maybe 2-3 old guys. I mean, veterans, and everybody else is just young, and try to get minutes, try to get experience, and that's what they did for me. So I use that as much as I can, and that brought me here in Brose. So I it's a thank you for them, for everything they did for me. So there's a new challenge for me here, and I'm very happy to be here. Brose is unbelievable. It's an unbelievable club with great tradition, and I'm just saying, like, I'm happy to be here.
How did that thought process go? I mean, there hasn't been a lot of Slovenians last season. We had a couple come over, but how'd that thought process come? You know, with a young Slovenian coming to a German club that's also known to develop a couple of German talents as well.
Exactly as you said, like, Brose is developing players in the past, and they were very. They came to me, they said, we want you to come, we think, like, we believe in you, so that's the main thing. it was like a yes, yes for me and for them. So we found our same words, how can I say? And it's just that, I don't know, the league is getting better and better every year, I think. And I don't know.
What do you think? How much confidence did you have coming in after a really good U20 European Championship? Okay, I mean, you guys finished 13, but you got the big win beating Poland.
Yeah.
How important was that for your confidence coming here?
Huge, I think. Like, I had a okay, solid championship, and of course, coming here, it was, I think, huge. But I didn't like relate it to that most of the time, so I turned the page. And it's a whole new story here, so improve every day and just practice as hard as I can and also play. Like, it's a new story for me now.
Improve every day. How's the German?
Oh, I don't know really. I learned a couple of words. Wie geht's or Guten Morgen, and like the basics. So I'm still like, I'm trying, but I get the handle of it, I think. Yeah.
You're playing Bona Pro A and trying to get as many minutes here and there with the big team. What are your expectations this year?
With the Bona team, we are a young team. Like, it's there. We are there to gain experience and to really play and develop. But in Bona, it's just that we all have to play as hard as we can. And of course, play to win. That's what the game is all about. But for me, like, it doesn't matter where I play, or here in Brose or in Bona, it's the same. I go on the court, leave 120% every game. So I really don't choose the games. I never did that. And I think that's very important.
One of your teammates at Baunach is another guy that's kind of taken an uncommon route here with Arnaldas, the Lithuanian.
Yeah.
Talk about him and talk about his development. He's a pretty highly regarded 98 prospect.
Arnaldas is great. With the team, he's practicing good. In the Baunach, we have a good coach, Fabian. And he's getting better every day. You can see that. Still, like I said, Bona is for most of it to gain experience. I think we all have to, of course, just to gain this experience and develop. But he's on a good way, so we'll see. It's still the beginning of the season, so.
You cover a lot of international basketball. What's your thought process about making it to the Slovenian senior team?
To the senior team, I don't think a lot when I'm in the club. It's really when the season ends here, then all the focus goes to the senior team. So what I want to do, like, it's to practice hard through the season here and develop, get chances, and then when the season ends, then my focus, if I get chosen to the senior team, then all the focus goes there. So that's my mentality.
My last question. About one other Slovenian talent. Obviously, Luka Doncic is doing amazing things. Thoughts about him? Maybe thoughts about playing one day with him in the senior team and for Slovenia?
Oh, Luka is great. I know him from Olympias, when he was still in Olympia. And of course, he is he's a top prospect in Europe, no doubt. And I think he will grow even more. Like, he's still, I think, 17. He's still 17, so playing in the EuroLeague and the Spanish ACB is huge for him to gain experience. Like, at 17 years old, it's something amazing. So I think, like, he will still get better and better. Like. And I look forward to play with him in the future in the senior team.
Ronaldas, we're here at the EuroLeague Bamberg game. Your first EuroLeague game here? You're watching the game?
It was my first
Thoughts
game.
Thoughts of it?
I like these fans. There's a lot of people. They love basketball. That's nice.
Pretty nice crowd, huh?
Yeah.
How's it compare to maybe Shagiris? Obviously, you know, that's something that you know, they have a pretty good reputation as well.
I think maybe the gym is smaller. There's not so much people in here, but the city is called Freak City because people really love basketball, and I see now there's a lot of good fans.
Talk about you coming here. You know you're still pretty young. Leaving Lithuania to come to Germany, it's not something that a lot of young Lithuanians do. Talk about why you decided to do that.
Yeah, I know. I knew that there's a lot of good basketball training facilities, good coaches, and I think the main reason was I need to grow up physically, and there's a really good coach who can help me to do this. That was the main reason, I think. And maybe the farm team, maybe in this farm team I get more playing minutes than in Kaunas.
And what were your thoughts when you came here?
About what?
The whole situation in general.
Everything was really good. I like everything's really good so far. I like it.
You had an injury, right?
Yeah, I had a small leg muscle injury. I was out maybe for 10 days.
Okay.
And I missed a couple of first games.
You had the second game was particularly good. You shot really well from the outside for the Pro A team, the second division team. You're three games into your season. How do you think you're doing here?
I think I'm doing pretty good. Finally, I feel my shot, and coaches knows that I'm shooter, and they just let me just shoot, and that's all. I feel good in this team.
Talk about just in general, maybe what you coming here, how that was received, what the people in Lithuania thought about you coming here.
They thought that I'm crazy, I think, because to leave basketball country for Germany, no one knew about German basketball, I think. They only know about the soccer, that's it. But they don't know about training facilities in here, and the basketball is really growing in Germany.
What does it say? I mean, like you say, it's growing in Germany, and for somebody like you, a pretty decent talent, you were playing under-18s as an underage player, to come here, what does it say about German basketball?
I don't know, maybe people invest more money in basketball in Germany. I don't know. There's more talents. They buy some new players, really young players, and they try to grow them up.
Talk about your expectations this year for this year.
First of all, I want to grow up physically. That's the main thing. And of course, some good wins with Pro A team, the second German league, and we'll try to win Under 19 German league, of course.
Under 19. Speaking of that, this next summer will be the Under 18, and it'll be qualifiers for the Under 19 World Championship. I know we're still a long way away from there, but you know, thoughts about that?
This summer we had really good championship, third place, and I think next year we will try to get even more. Maybe for higher medals, I hope so, because we really have a lot of talented players in under 18. We'll try to do our best.
I'm ready to let you go with that.
Okay. Yeah, so actually, I haven't had a chance to really play. I saw Nikolic play, obviously, in that game. He can't even remember. I think that was the... hang on a second. I believe that was the Mitteldeutsch, the NBC game. Yeah, that's still his only game that he's played in the BBL. Played 21, 11, and scored 8 points. Two rebounds, two assists, a turnover, three fouls. Made a three-pointer. So that's still his only game that he's played in the Beko BBL. Kolbuka has not played yet in the BBL. But he has been doing very well in the NBBL, and obviously there's a reason why he was chosen for the All-Star game. you know, I was able to see Nikolic play that one game. I was actually at that game, and but haven't seen Kolboka play at least at that level. I did see him play at the under 18 European Championship, which obviously I addressed. He'll be at the under 18 European Championship this summer, which would also obviously there's talk there though that there's that'll be the that'll be the qualifiers for the under 19 2017 under 19 World Championship. He's actually leading the NBBL Bamberg team. It's actually Torstar Breiten Gusbach in scoring with 23 points a game. He has also averaged 3 rebounds and 1.2 assist, shooting 47% from 3-point range, 20 of 43 in 5 games, so averaging four threes a game. So definitely had one game where he went 8 of 14 from 3-point range, scored 30 in the game. So definitely has come over to Germany and excelled. The next interview I talked to Robert Sinn, who is with the aforementioned NBC, and he was actually getting quite a bit of playing time, and he's getting quite a bit of playing time for NBC, and so wanted to talk to him and see what it was like to really kind of to be an important factor. He's 20. He'll be 21 in end of February, and his playing time since I talked to him, his playing time has kind of gone down quite a bit. But there was a stretch, a 3-game stretch where there he played 28, 19, and 22 minutes, and scored 26 points. Had 11 assists. So that was a time when he was really getting a lot of playing time. That was sort of mid November. So that's when the interview is from. So yeah, like I said, a little bit dated, but that's fine. So here's my chat with Robert Sinn, 20-year-old point guard for Mitteldeutsche Basketball Club NBC in the German Pico BBL.
Okay, so Robert, we're here at in Bamberg. You guys, let's say, got a lesson against Bamberg. Maybe talk about this game in general against one of the top teams, really in European basketball.
Yeah, I think it was like a difficult game for us. We like had a bad start and came back in the first quarter, and then we were like, I don't know what happened in the second quarter. Our defense wasn't good, our rotations were like really bad, and and then we were like down by 20 and did not find a rhythm to come back in the second half. Yeah.
This game comes a couple days after you guys really played well for a good, let's say, 25 minutes against Oldenburg. We're leading by 17. How disappointing was it to let that game out of your hands?
Yeah, I think this game we're like really frustrated because like we had the feeling that we can win it, and we were like up by 17, had a great feeling, and then we were like we did not know what happened, and then Oldenburg made like every shot, and we were like not had a rhythm in the offense, and I think that game's really hard, and today you can expect to lose against Bamberg, you know, because like they have a really pretty good team.
What did you guys learn from that Oldenburg game?
I think we have to learn that we have to play like 40 minutes and not stop playing after 25 minutes, and that we have to stay calm in the offense over the whole time and not to get nervous, and I think that's the
How hard is that? I mean, you guys are still young. You're 20s. You know, Stefan's 22. You know, Dominique, and you guys aren't okay. There's Jeter and you know, but you guys are still really young. How hard is that to do that?
Like in the beginning, it was like really hard because I think we had, our German guys did not have like a really like they did not really play a really season in the first league, and but I think we're getting better every time, and we're thankful to get the trust from the coach, so he gives us a lot of trust, so it's not that difficult because we can make mistakes and then we have to play like with a high confidence, and under this coach it's possible, and we want to give him back, and we have to start winning games.
Let me talk about you mentioned trust, and you're getting a lot of minutes over the last four or five games. Talk about where you see your game, your development.
I think in the beginning of the season I was like just like organize the game, and now I also see that I can help the teams with sometimes to penetrate or kick out and
congrats, man.
And help the team like with shooting the ball or something like that, whatever the team needs from me. Yeah.
Where do you see your game right now? I mean, it seems like you have a good drive to your right. Just in general, where do you see your game?
I think I'm still a pass first point guard. You know, I try to create for the others, and then I have to see, you know, what is open. I had one game last game where I had like a lot of penetrations, because like they had problems to defend the play, and today they were like everything was close, and I have to learn to shoot the mid range better. I did not make it since the season. It was like much better last season. And gotta work, keep working.
Of course, working is always what you guys have to do. You know, one of the things that people kind of question about you is your shooting. You are actually, I think it's 6 of your last 10 in the last 4 games from 3-point range. You know, you mentioned the mid-range game, that you were short on the jumper today. In general, you know, are you happy with with how your shot is developing?
Of course, yeah. I did a lot of work in the summer, and I have the feeling that my shot is like feeling better, and I think there's still a lot to improve, but still, it's not the main focus. You know, my main focus should be to have a good rhythm in the offense for my team, and to play good defense. I think I have to work on that too. You know, to get more physical, and then keep working on my ball, and then keep working on my shot, and then everything comes by its own. You know.
You said you worked a lot in the summer. One of the reasons you had the time was because you didn't make the U20 team. How disappointing was that? You know, especially knowing that you had been on the U18 team a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it was like really disappointment because I was like practicing with the team and like had a really good start with the national team, and then. I couldn't make it in the team because like coach preferred other players, and I had the summer off. Maybe it was good for me because like I could work because in the national team you like have a lot of team things and you cannot work so much on your individuals. But still, I wanted to play, but was not under the 12 players. It was coach's decision, and it was like really hard for me. But still. Now the club like supported me. They said, "Yeah, you will come back," and no, it's okay. I get like playing time, so we only need to get wins now.
You've been through a couple of turbulent years. You know, you were in Ludwigsburg with all the guys. They kind of changed things up a little bit there. You went to Baunach for the year, and that kind of that only lasted the year, and then you came over to NBC. You signed an extension to the end of next season. How comfortable are you with this team?
I'm really comfortable. I'm really comfortable with the whole organization. You know, I was like in a real bad situation here in Bamberg. I did not get like playing time in the Pro B team. Couldn't practice with the first team, and And Coach Popat gave me the chance like to play a lot in Pro B, what helped me a lot, and to practice every day with the first league team. And nothing better could like, it was like so great for me to have always in the practice a good competition, and also the Pro B games were like really good American guards play. I could like improve my game a lot, and then this year they gave me the chance to play, and I'm really thankful, and yeah, I'm really comfortable with the club. Yeah.
You're 95 born, you know, you're still very young, you're still developing your game. You know, people are going to see that you're doing more things, you're getting more playing time, you're being more productive. What are some of your goals? I mean, obviously there's the contract till 2017, but in general, what are some of your goals over the next 2-3 years?
Well, that's a difficult question. You know, first of all, I want to stay in the league with this team to play next year again first league. I know that we have like to fight like crazy now to come back in the league, and for me personal, I want to be to be really in the rotation also when it's now another new guy is coming and keep getting playing time. I think it was like I had now a good games for me maybe, but I have to like. Be like consistent over the other games now, and not like that it's only like 2 or 3 games, you know.
NBC seems to be, you know, with yourself, Stefan, Dominique, seems to be going a little bit of the, you know, Frankfurt, Hagen route, where, you know, you develop these young German kids because you need them down the future. How nice is it to be part of a club that really has that faith in the young German players?
Yeah, it's like really great. I mean, it's also like luck that you are like in the club where like they say, okay, now we play with young players. We want to play with young German players who are not so experienced, and we're gonna have the risk to go in the second league. But we will trust in them, and if it works, then it's great. And if it's not, then. I mean, they take a high risk to let us play, you know, to sign all the young players, and yeah, we have to give them back something, you know, and. And yeah, it's awesome for us like to get the playing time here, you know.
Last question. NBC will not be relegated to Pro A because?
Because we have like a lot of good players, like a lot of good also individual players, and we are a team, and we're gonna fight, and we will win games.
Okay, next interview, it's actually a string of 3 interviews, one after the next, and they all focus on a young German guard, and that is Jonas Grof, and the interesting thing about Jonas, 96 born, is a 19-year-old, is that is in the middle of a transition from sort of shooting guard forward to actually point guard. And the fact that he's 201, so 6'6", makes it really attractive. This is still a work in progress. Plays for Phoenix Hagen, and he is mainly practicing with the senior team for them. Played a little bit this year in the Pro B for the Iserlohn Kangaroos. Has averaged almost 10 points. Almost 10 points with two assists, 3 rebounds, a steal, 2.3 turnovers. And 17 minutes a game in the third division is the Pro B. And then at the Bundesliga, at the BBL level, has had some ups and downs. Has been very impressive in some games and has been less than impressive in other games. But you can also mark that up a little bit to him being young. 3.3 points, 1.1 assists, 1.0 turnovers, 2.7 rebounds, only 1 3-pointer taken, in the BBL. Let me just see. He took three and missed all three. He's missed all four of his three-pointers this season. He's taken four three-pointers this season. That's mentioned in the interview. That's one of his weaknesses right now. Like we said, he's 19. He's working on his game. But you know, having a 6'6" point guard, a 2.01 meter point guard is pretty appealing. And if everything works out, then it could be a pretty nice tool to have. So first of all, I talked to the Phoenix Hagen assistant coach, that being Steven Reed, and follow that up with an interview with the, hang on just a second, seeing how old he is. That is the 34-year-old American from Detroit, I believe, David Bell. And then finish up with a chat with Jonas Grof himself. Again, 19, on his way developing to a point guard. So here's my chat again. Steven Reed, the assistant coach with Hagen. David Bell, the 34-year-old veteran point guard. And then 19-year-old Jonas Grof. So we'll catch you on the other side of those three interviews.
Okay, Jonas is a 19-year-old. He's kind of making a transition to the point guard. If he can make the transition, obviously, with that size, it would be a great thing for him, for whatever team he plays for. Maybe talk about where you see him in that development.
Yeah, Jonas is very far. We're very satisfied with Jonas. He has to work on the speed of the game at this level, I think. Also, not only with his body, but with his mind, understanding the speed of the game. He has to be more aggressive at times. His biggest deficit is his shot, and that he has to continue to work on. Those are some of the main points.
As far as the quickness, obviously that's going to be the biggest thing. Where do you think, how is he working on that, and how is he coming along on that?
No, he's coming along very well. I know where he was 5-6 years ago with his athletic, and he's really improved. All our young players work out with our strength and conditioning coach a lot of times also during the season. They've all improved over the years. I see that he'll continue to improve on that. That's the main thing.
Is he somebody to watch for? And I mean, he's still only 19, and a year ago today actually was his first BBL game. Is he somebody that people in Germany should watch out for?
I think so. I think a guy with his size and his ability to handle the ball, playmaking abilities, he has those also. I think that's very, not too many guys have that. He maybe in the future, it could be like a Stefan Harmon that he played here in Bamberg, that type of guard. He also Stefan Harmon also wasn't a very strong shooter, but was a captain the point guard of the national team for a lot of years. So he has this playmaking ability with this size, and that's his strength, that he has this size. He'll continue to improve on his athletic ability, and hopefully in a few years he'll put the whole package together.
You guys ended the game the last final 2 minutes with five guys under 21. I know it's also a little bit out of financial necessity, but you know, you look at you guys, you look at Frankfurt, NBC has now started to kind of go that way as well. Talk about and you've lost guys to other teams that are picking them off you guys. They see talent and offer them, you know, better deals, whatnot. Talk about your youth movement, if you want to call, and where you see it in general.
We are really support the youth movement by us. One special thing about us is we only use guys from the immediate area. We don't bring young guys in from other cities in Germany and say that's our youth program or countries, exactly. We play with Hagen guys, Hagen, Dortmund, okay, the guys in directly within 20 kilometers of Hagen. We play with these guys. We develop these guys. It's a process. We have guys. It starts in our school program that we have in Hagen. then it proceeds to the JBBL team, MBBL team, and people like Jonas, Nicholas have, you've seen them grow through this whole process. So it's a very strong thing we have in Hagen, and all this with very limited means. We don't have training facility, we don't have everything that the big clubs have. We do our best, and we do our best with the guys from the area.
All right, fantastic, thanks. So, David Bell, we're here in Bamberg. Maybe talk a little bit about where you think this team is in the development. You know, you're still trying to figure everybody out. There's new guys coming in and the young guys and everything. Maybe talk about, obviously Bamberg's a tough opponent, but in general, where you think the team is.
Our team?
Yep.
We're in a good place right now. You know, we're executing the things that we want to execute. Sometimes we have lapses, but you know that's given, and it's hard to play 40 minutes. But for the most part, we're doing the things that we want to do. As long as we keep improving, I think we can make some noise.
You've been here since 2012, which so you've seen basically this entire youth movement that's gone that Phoenix Hagen has kind of gone through. Maybe thoughts in general about really all the talent coming from that area as well.
You know, there's a lot of great coaches in the area, including Ingo and Steve, you know, and they trickle down to those coaches and they have great communication. And I think that's what is most important around there is everybody pretty much communicates and everybody's on the same page on development and the development stages. And, you know, there's a lot of great talent coming out of there. The guys come to practice and, you know, you hear about guys in the area that's really... Okay. And a lot of guys in the area that are up and coming, and I think that's in part of Ingo and Steve and the Isolone coach. You know, there's great guys developing good players around there.
And have they kind of told you, I mean, you've been here so long, and obviously you're getting up there in age. Have they said to you, you know, hey, just be kind of a mentor to them and just lead by example, which I'm sure you probably would do anyhow, but is it an express goal or whatever from the coaching staff?
I think we're on the same page. They don't even have to tell me that, but, you know, I want to help the guys out. You know, it's what I do in the summertime in Las Vegas, and I like to do it. I like to see the guys up and coming and getting better, and everybody's willing. All the young guys on the team are all willing. They all work hard.
And they also see a future.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you see what it is to be in the BBL and up and coming. You see what it's like to play against guys that are in the top league. And, you know, Ingo lets the young guys come out here and play if it's a tough game, and he puts them in tough situations to give them that experience, and I think that's one of the keys. You give them experience, let them see it, let them feel it, and that's what they do.
Yeah, Marcel got 19 minutes.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. And Marcel had a great week in practice. Mm-hmm. He's another guy that's developing into.
No, he was playing against some good talent at U18 Euros this year.
That's what they said. Summer. They said he had a good summer.
Yeah, yeah.
So guys are getting the experience and the exposure, and it's not, you know, getting to their head. They're continue to work every day.
One guy I want to ask you in particular about is Jonas Grof. Obviously, being 6'7", and they're, you know, you guys are transitioning him to a point guard. Yeah. Hey, if you can have a 6'7" point guard, there's a lot of advantages there.
Yes.
Obviously, it's a tough transition. Maybe your thoughts about where he is in that transition.
You know, I think he's just more confident this year than I've seen in the last couple years. Last year, I think he got in a couple games and really actually won us some games, I think, in Ludwigsburg. He won us. He made some big plays down the stretch, and I think his confidence built from there. And then this summer, I don't know what happened, but when we came back, he was, you know, he's well spoken now. You know, he speaks up. He's joking around with us. He's not shy anymore. He feels like he's fitting in, and I think that's one of the things that has helped him. And man, I can't express how much improvement he's made and opened my eyes. The day I got here, I could just see his confidence is he's built different. He walks different. You know, he has something about him that he wants to be good.
You played U20 European Championship as a 19-year-old.
All right.
So that's a big thing as well.
Big thing.
He's playing underage at a 20s.
Yeah, man.
Obviously, you know, he still has to work on his quickness and needs to really get a shot. Obviously, that's kind of tougher with you guys because you guys have a lot of shooters.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, seems to be looking for a shot more at the Pro B. Where do you see, let's call him weaknesses or things he has to work on?
I would say the quickness and his shot, but the tempo of his shot is just a little slow. But actually, he's been making them. So once he gets more comfortable in the game, I think that'll start going in. But I mean, at this level, you do have to have a faster shot. You have to do a couple things. But the things that he does good, he posts up. He has a post-up. You know, he posts up, you know, good guards in this league. He's 6'7", and he makes a play out of it. And he sees the floor very well. So those things can also help him. He doesn't really have to be too fast to be able to make plays, I think. He understands what he is, and he makes plays from what he is.
There's not a lot of 6'7 point guards in the world, really. Do you think that if he gets a shot and that there's going to be, let's say, more talent scouts coming to see Hagen games? I mean, they say the sky's the limit for a lot of people. I mean, what kind of upper level do you see with him if he continues to move? Without putting pressure on him, obviously.
No, not pressure. I think that if he just stays within himself and not tries to become what everybody else wants him to become. I'm not a really big believer in, you know, taking too many people's advice, because, you know, they might try to develop you into something you're not. What he is a 6'7 point guard, which right there is a bonus. He can post up. He can see the floor. If you have anything, if you want anything, that's what he's going to give you, you know. If he doesn't give you the shot, he has a one dribble pull up, a mid-range game that's pretty solid. So, I mean, as long as he improves on the things he's good at, and then he gets there, and then he can develop the three-point shot and a little bit more quickness, get a little bit more athletic, then, I mean, what else can't? I mean, that's a lot right there. 6'7", too? I mean, geez. So, I think he has a good chance, man.
All right, I'll let you go with that. Okay, so Jonas, we're here at Bamberg. You guys had a tough game. Obviously, this is a really good team. Talk about where you see the team in this season so far.
I think we played pretty good so far. We won the games we had to win against the lower teams, and we lost against good teams like Bayern and Bamberg, and we made really good games against good teams like Frankfurt that we could have won. So I think we played a pretty good season so far, and I think we will still play good.
Maybe talk a little bit about how you think you're playing. Obviously, you have the playing time in the NBBL and Pro A? Pro B?
No, NBBL, just Pro B.
Just Pro B. Yeah. Maybe talk about how you're able to use what you learn in practice with more playing time in Pro B.
I'm very grateful that Ingo lets me play so much here. It's not... doesn't matter. I think it helps me a lot. Like, when I practice and play here, the Pro B is much easier for me to play. Then I'm more self-confident out of this, and especially my teammates, they help me a lot in when I play here.
Actually, congratulations to the one-year anniversary. Actually, a year ago today was your first BBL game. Oh. Looking back on that and looking back where you were then to where you're at today, how far do you think you've come?
I think I made a good step so far. Last year at this time I was pretty scared when I was playing, and now I'm getting my rhythm and I'm more self-confident now, and for my body I'm better now, and I'm just older and a little bit more experienced, but I still got to work a lot to get better.
You spent a year in Maine at Lee Academy. I was looking at their roster this year. It looks like a lot of international guys. I assume that was probably the same as the year when you were there. What made you want to take that step to a high school prep in the States? And what was the biggest thing you took out of that?
The biggest thing was my athleticism. I got so much more athletic over there because we worked so much on it, and after I came back I don't know, like 50 centimeters more jumping. So it was a good year for me there.
Yeah, they're more athletic in general, and that's one of the things that they always say about it. Was that something that really surprised you right away and said, or was that what you actually went there looking to do?
It surprised me a little bit, but I knew it already a little. But like I said, it was a great year, and the coach was all right, but we had a lot of players, so I had to fight for my playing time, and that was also a good thing.
Talk a little bit about your season this year. You know, you've been kind of up and down with your performances. I suppose you could probably just, you know, say that's part of being a young player. But maybe talk a little bit about what you think you've done for this team, the BBL team.
Yeah, when I play, I always try to do my best. Like, I always try to give 100%, and especially on defense. And I think on offense, we have a lot of shooters. But like, my strength is go to the basket and find others. And that's what Ingo tells me to do all the time. And that's what I can give the team.
At 201, you're making the transition to a point guard, which obviously would give you and whatever team you play for a big advantage. How would you say your transition to a point guard is going?
I think it's all right because Ingo trusts me with this and he wants me to play the point guard a lot, so I got his trust and my teammates, they all also respect me to play the point guard, and I think if I keep playing like that and if I get that much time, I think it will be better every game.
What's the biggest thing that you think you have to work on in order to be a pretty high level point guard?
I gotta get quicker. I think my athleticism is all right, but I gotta get a lot quicker so I can also defend other point guards and I can get around them on offense.
How are you doing that? How are you trying to do that?
Yeah, we got twice or three times a week. We got athletic practice where I got especially a specific program with my athletic coach to work on that quicker.
Are you getting better on that?
Yeah, already a little, but it takes time, so I think it will become better.
Saw on the Hagen website, role model is Carmelo Anthony. Why is that?
Yeah, because last year in the States, I saw him a lot on TV, on television, and I just like how he can score out of every position, and I want to be able to score more, not just with a drive, also with a quick jump shot, and I think he's great idol for that.
Got to work on your jumper, though, huh?
Right, I got to, and I do.
And how's that come along? You think it's? I mean, you don't seem to really be looking for it, really. How do you think it's coming along?
I think it's like in the Pro B, I'm looking more for it, but here, that's why Ingo tells me, like, we got a lot of shooters in the team. I want you to drive. If I'm open, I shoot it, but I'm looking more for my drive here.
I saw PS3 on there as well. You have a favorite game?
NBA 2K.
And what team do you play?
Usually the Clippers.
Why is that?
I like Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. I can play with them pretty good.
It's pretty nice. And do you have somebody that you would like to kind of, one of these guys that you could toss it up to?
Sorry.
Is there somebody here on the team that you like to throw up some alley-oops like they do?
DJ Covington. He can jump so high. I've never seen that before.
This past summer, you played for the national team for a second time at the U20s as a 19-year-old, so underage. You guys overcame the big hurdle of surviving the big drop with 7 teams going down. 11th place. How happy are you and knowing that you're gonna be able to play that next year?
Yeah, I think we reached our goal because we didn't want to move down, but we could have played better. It was, I think, just 7 points until we could have moved to the quarterfinals, but I'm pretty happy with myself because I played all right, but the coach, he trusted me a lot and he gave me, I think, like 25 minutes or so a game, so he trusted me a lot and I got a lot out of it.
That's a pretty nice 97 generation coming in. Guys like Kessin, Kramer, Taras, Zabe, Kiel, Kratzer, Figge, and then on top of your 96, what do you know, if you're with the team this summer, what do you think is possible for U20s? The year with Tice, you guys, they had a couple of good years. What do you think is possible for next summer?
I think we got a pretty good chance next summer to get into the quarterfinal and then maybe more because, like you said, like the 97 guys are pretty good. We got a good 96 guys, so we got a good mix. We got a good coach with Frank, and I think we will be able maybe to even get it to a medal.
Talk a little bit about let's call it the youth movement here in Hagen. How nice is it that a club like Phoenix Hagen is investing so much time and effort in guys from that area and helping you guys develop?
It's very nice because I'm from Hagen and it wasn't normal the last few years, but when Matthias became the youth coordinator of Phoenix, he is just doing a lot for all of the kids, and he's with me now since 6 years and he helped me to come here also, same with Niklas and with Marcel. So he's a big part of that, but also the whole project is really good and it's becoming better every day.
You're playing BBL, pretty regular, more or less regular minutes at 19. Talk about your goals. I mean, obviously if you can get to being a point guard of that size, lots more people would be interested. Talk about your goals, what you think.
Yeah. This season I just want to, first in the next 1 or 2 years, I just want to become a solid player in the BBL and try to do my best every game, and like after that we got to see how far I'm in the next 3 years, but I want to get pretty far.
Why will this team make the playoffs?
Because we got everything. We got shooters, we got a nice game style, we got a good coach and also good youth players, and I think we will be able to reach it.
All righty. So, it's a tantalizing package. you know, he's not ready by far, but they're working on him, and he's you know, there's flashes in there that definitely can make you dream. And you know, 96, he's got plenty of time. He's not even draft eligible for two more years. If I'm not mistaken, two more years. 96 should be 90. Yeah, so two more years to be even draft eligible. And really, he's only been at the point guard position for about a season or so. So, and he knows that he's going to have a chance to play. Phoenix Hagen is definitely known for, you know, throwing their young kids into the fire, also because they need to, because they don't have the cash otherwise. So that he knows that he's going to have the playing time, he's going to have the chance to show what he can do at that level. So definitely at least a name to watch. Not necessarily a superstar, but you never know. I mean, a kid that young, and that package can definitely develop. So we'll see what comes of it. Another reason why that team is so attractive is they just added. They just made some big changes to their management group, and hired a new CEO. Also brought back to the BBL the Wolfgang Heider, who's the former general manager, basically, from Brose Baskets Bamberg. Helped build that program. Was there for, God, he must have been there for at least 15 years. And won six titles with them, and then when he left when Beyer took over, and then Chris Fleming left, so he's now in the advisory board, and he's also in the advisory board with former Turkish national team football striker Erdan Kesser. Who used to play with Borussia Dortmund, used to play with Galatasaray, and saw somewhere that he was kind of looking to join some investor, trying to get some investors in a Swiss second division football team, and knowing that there's so much money in Turkish hoops, I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Kerser is able to bring in a Turkish sponsor to Hagen. Of course, this is total speculation. I have nothing to go on it. It's just putting together the math and seeing what comes of it. But it seems like that might be something that might be possible down the road. And having really a great mastermind in Wolfgang Heider now, at least helping run things. You know, he wasn't necessarily brought in to run the ship, as far as I know. You know, like I said, they brought in a new general manager. So I'm not exactly sure what the role is for him. That was just announced yesterday. But a very interesting addition there, and so Phoenix Hagen, you know, they've been in the playoffs a couple times, and if there's anybody who knows how to get every cent from a basketball, a small town mad about basketball, that would be Wolfgang Heider. Who just, you know, 70,000 people live in 70,000 people live in Bamberg, and he was able to really turn that into a pretty good solid program internationally also. Hagen has has about 185, 190,000 people. So it's 75, at least double, you know, almost 2.5 times the size of Bamberg. And a lot more around there in North Rhine-Westphalia. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if, let's say, 2-3 years down the road, Hagen is knocking on the doorstep and saying, "Hey, we want a little bit of piece of the Euro Cup," or who knows what international competitions we're gonna have by then, but a little piece of the international puzzle pie. So that's the interviews. Hope you enjoyed those. Like I said, I've been sitting on them, and I had all these interviews with everybody else since then, and I figured since they're all sort of younger players, I put them all together in one batch, and hope you enjoyed those. And with that, I'm going to let you go. I do want to let you know what you're listening to. The song is called It Ain't Right, and it is by the Underscore Orchestra, and it is available as almost all of their music on freemusicarchive.org, so go out and check that out. Next week, we'll know the top 16. The groups of the top 16 in the EuroLeague, and we'll know plenty else of other things. So with that, enjoy the week of basketball, and we will catch you in a week. So talk to you then.
See you.
Hello, my name is Sergio Scariolo, and you are listening to Taking the Charge.